Nashville.
Here, tune into 6 AM Road on Road to Stardom Radio. We're gonna have a great show today. Talking about our new Supreme Court Justice, Ketanji Brown Jackson. We're gonna get into that in a minute. And the intro to her was John Shepherd, Turning Your Light. I like that song, that's why I made the intro. Okay, just give me a minute, y'all, for that. Oh. It says, Croy Vicar Bobbins celebrate Ketanji Brown's Supreme Court confirmation. It says, Atlanta City, New Jersey, Cory Booker, Senator Cory Booker and Senator Bob Menendez led the celebration in the Historic Court of Appeals, Court Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson to the U.S. Supreme Court on Thursday. The confirmed Brown nomination 52-47 on Thursday, making her the first African-American woman to serve on the nation's highest court. Thurgood Marshall was the first black on the Supreme Court serving from 1966 to 1991. Conservative Justice Clarence Thomas was picked in 1991. Like many Americans, I feel immense pride and so much joy at this historic occasion, Booker said in his statement. As Judge Jackson is sent to the United States Supreme Court, I see the affirmation of our ancestors for the indignities of this country sacrifice to bend the moral arc of our nation towards justice. They knew that America, haunted by its past failings, was not bound by them, and believed that a day like this would eventually arrive. Her sterling credentials have brought her board report, and this will be the fourth time that the United States Senate will confirm her to a role she was nominated for in the bipartisan Booker added. On Monday, Mendez rallied with members of the Black and Latino communities outside of the First Baptist Church, Hillside, New Jersey, in favor of Jackson's nomination. Judge Jackson is a nominee who belongs on the highest court in the land because she knows what the law can do, can limit what it can block, Mendez said in his own statement Monday. On Thursday, Mendez added, with a vote today to confirm Ketanji Brown Jackson as an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, has the U.S. made history and has also witnessed in real time the bending of the moral arc of the universe towards justice and proved to women and girls everywhere that they too can be one of the nine guardians entrusted by this Constitution to ensure equal justice under the law for all people. It was Booker who gave an impassioned speech last month during the confirmation hearing in favor that left many around the country, even the Supreme Court Justice, died. Other judges celebrated the historic nomination. U.S. Rep. Andy Kim shared his feelings on social media. A glass ceiling was broken today by Judge Ketanji Jackson. Congratulations to our confirmed Supreme Court Associate Justice, Kim said on Twitter. I look forward to following her work as she guides our country towards a more equal future for all. Donald Norcross added, history made. Jessica Tanji Brown has made history as the first black woman confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court. There is great joy in seeing America reach this milestone and great meaning for black girls who see themselves represented in Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, despite all the forces that still stand in their way, said the Institute for Social Justice. U.S. Rep. Joyce Beatty from Ohio, chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, praised the vote. Today is a moment of historic consequences, Beatty said in a statement. Her judicial temperament and keen legal skills will make a judge which all America proud. As she makes today, she stands on the shoulders of the black female trailblazers who came before her, and she sent a message to black women and little girls like my grandmother Leah, anything is possible. This is our power and our message. Now, congratulations apology to now Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. Congratulations. You know, this is a time coming. If we can change these little things that are blocking women, blocking black men, if we can change it, now is the time to change it. And she changed it. The Republicans didn't want to vote in. You saw the confirmation here, how they was treating her. They talked about critical race theory, which has nothing to do with what her job is. Ted Cruz read that book, and it had nothing to do with what her job is. Talking about cases, that's why we're at the confirmation hearing. They try to put negative out there about her, which didn't work because everything was in her favor. God was on her side. God said, we're not letting this, when you put dirt on this woman's name because you don't want her. She, out of every political justice we have, she is the one who is the most qualified for position. You read the laws of how to become Supreme Court Justice, you don't even have to have a law degree. I don't think you need a law degree to even become a Supreme Court Justice. Yep. That's crazy. Congratulations to her. And like said during the confirmation hearing, yeah, you stand on the shoulders of Harriet Tubman, Ida B. Wells, you stand on the shoulders of a lot of women, African-American women, pioneer in this country. Yep, get into next thing I want to share with y'all is, it's a sad one, y'all. We lost an NFL player. Played for the Steelers. And, you know, it's an NFL great. I'm going to put it that way. We lost an NFL great. And, Dwayne Haskins died before a Steelers quarterback, Ohio standout, hit by South Florida. The official Steelers quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, a standout at Ohio and former first-round pick of the Washington Commanders, died. And CBS Sports insider Jordan Anderson confirms he was 24. Haskins was struck by a dump truck while walking on foot westbound on Interstate 595 near Fort Lauderdale. Florida Highway Patrol spokesman Lieutenant Indiana Miranda confirmed to the Associated Press. The accident, which caused the highway to shut down for several hours, was reported around 6:07 a.m. Haskins was dead scene. A traffic homicide investigation remains open, Washington Post. Haskins was in South Florida working out with other Steelers teammates and agent Cedric Saunders told ESPN he would have 25 years old on May 3rd. I am devastated and at a loss for words. With the unfortunate passing of Dwayne Haskins, Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin said in a statement released by the team, he really became part of our Steelers family upon his arrival at Pittsburgh and one of our hard workers, both on the field and in our community. Dwayne was a great teammate, but even more so a tremendous friend to so many. I am truly heartbroken. Our thoughts and prayers are with his wife, Calabria, and his entire family during this difficult time. Prior to the NFL, Haskins was a record-breaking single caller, at Ohio State, where he claimed school and Big Ten passing yards, passing touchdowns during his 18th season. That year, he threw for 4,831 yards and 50 touchdowns while he the Buckeyes to a Big Ten championship and a win in the Rose Bowl. He earned the honors. That's the second Columbus, Ohio, made Haskins an intriguing prospect in the NFL. Was to Washington, taking him a 15 overall pick in the first round of the 2019 NFL draft. We are devastated to hear news of the tragic passing of Dwayne Haskins Jr., co-owner Dan and Tanya Snyder said in a statement released by the team. He was a man with a tremendous amount of people who had an affectionate personality. To say we are heartbroken is an understatement. Our hearts and prayers are the members of Dwayne's family, all those who knew him and loved him. I'm absolutely heartbroken to hear the news of the passing of Dwayne Haskins Jr. at a committee. Head coach Ron Rivera, in his statement, Dwayne was a talented young man who had a life ahead of him. This is a very sad time, and I am honestly at a loss for words. I know I speak for the rest of our team if he will be sorely missed. Our entire team is sending our heartfelt condolences and thoughts and prayers to the Haskins at this time. Becoming pro has been struggling to solidify himself as a franchise quarterback, going 3-for-10 as the starter for Washington. The first 2 seasons of the club, he was officially released by the organization during the 2020. Payne has then signed the Steelers in January 2021 and worked as the third-string quarterback behind Ben Roethlisberger and Mason Rudolph. This offseason, Hopkins, a restricted free agent, was tendered by Apple, meaning he would say another season with the team in 2022. Condolences go out to his family. Wow. I don't expect to get that call. You know, when a loved one has passed or killed, you know, you're not expecting thing to get that call. I know his wife, when she called, was crazy in mind. As I shared the story how I found out how my brother died, and I get it. A person doesn't have a number, they use what means they have to tell you. And if social media is the means, but in the way for them to tell you, but I think back at it, you know, the only way to be able to tell them, instead of telling me that, the person could have said, somebody got to tell you. with them or not, call me and tell me. Any social media platform is not a place where you want to hear family member as pastor. You know, respectfully, you would like a phone call. So that's why I know she got a call. She's like, what? He's what? May he rest in peace. We're gonna move on from that everybody's just about Will Smith, so let's get into it over with because I'm out of hearing about Will Smith. But the question asked, there are foul that Cali banned Will Smith from attending the Oscar years. Says Will Smith will keep his best award and is eligible for future nominations. Nearly 2 weeks after Will Smith slapped the father Chris Rock for not keeping his wife's name out of his mouth, the Academy of Motion Pictures has finally decided how it will punish the actor for unprecedented actions. TV report, the best actor winner will be banned from attending the Oscars or any other Academy events for 2 years. Smith will be able to keep his Best Actor awards, and it will be an Academy board member stated before the 51 members ultimately decided on that punishment. Smith will also be eligible for future nominations, but can't be billed until after Friday, after decision from the Academy's four-person board of governors comes after weeks of Twitter diatribe, opinions from others, actors and actresses, and an apology from himself. The King Richard star also resigned from the Academy a week ago as the board of Moldo what direction it will take in determining what course of action it would take against violating the conduct. Following of the Academy CEO Don Hudson and David Ruhlman produced the Welfare Game under fire for their handling of the situation and for allowing Will Smith to remain in the movie theater. There were conflicting reports on whether or not Smith had to leave, and he eventually won his Oscar for Best Actor and apologized for his behavior, but then apologized to Chris Knight. Smith and his family later attended Vanity Fair's after party where he danced the night away songs. A few days later, he did apologize to Rock for slapping him on national television. In an open letter to the members of Hudson and Ruben said they did not adequately address the situation in the room. They apologized the minute they felt unfair for unprecedented. They expressed gratitude for maintaining his composure under extraordinary circumstances. Thank tonight's host, winners, and for keeping together following the incident through his person, Smith issued a small statement saying, I accept and respect the Academy's decision. We hope we can finally put this dire situation behind us and move on. You can read the Academy's open letter below. And Oscars were meant to be a celebration of many individuals and many who incredible work this past year. But those moments were overshadowed by the unacceptable and harmful behavior we saw Mr. Smith exhibit on stage. Telecast, we did not adequately address the situation in the room for this. We are sorry. This was an opportunity for us to set for our guests, viewers, and our Academy family around the world short. Unprecedented. The Board of Governors convened to discuss how to respond to actions at the Oscars. In addition to accepting his resignation, the board has hired for a period of 10 years from April 8, 2022. Mr. Smith will not be permitted to attend any Academy events or programs in person or virtually, including but not limited to the Academy Awards. We want to express our deep gratitude to Bob for maintaining his composure under extraordinary circumstances. We also thank our hosts, nominees, and presenters of women for their praise and grace during our telecast. The action we are taking today in response to Will's behavior is a step toward a larger goal of protecting the safety of our performance guests and restoring trust in the Academy. We also hope this can begin a time of healing, restoration for all involved and impacted. Thank you, David Rubin, President, and Dawn Hudson, CEO. Opinion is a lot. And, you know, he was supposed to be in, star in, or he already done with on hold because Netflix pulled out on the movie, pulled out and will not release the movie he did for Netflix. The Bad Boys 4 is on hold because of this. He was wrong for what he did. Yes, he was wrong. He apologized. And then, like, he waited a month to apologize. He apologized right away. So, he knew he was wrong. You know, everybody has a breaking point. And I'm serious, everybody has a breaking point. And you at the wrong, you know, sometimes. And Will did. But there is footage. I think it's footage or a soundbite of Will saying that he had a conversation with Rock after he said at the 2016 Oscars about Jada, that Will said he had a conversation with Chris Rock about saying stuff about his wife. And then you at the 2022 Oscars and you make a joke about his wife when he's had a, I get a comedian and you should be able to say what you want. But when someone has a conversation with you and tells you to do something and you turn around and do it. And then his brother at his comedy show went off like he want to fight Will for smacking his brother in the face. I'm going to say this. You know they say, I am my brother's keeper. But you can't always fight your family member's keeper. You can't always fight your family battles. You can't, you know, what Will did was wrong. But if him and Chris had a conversation, I'm doing jokes about Jada, and he said, okay, I won't do any jokes. And then Because even Will Packard said that Chris went off script with what he went off script. Because they had what he was supposed to say in the teleprompter, and he went off script on his own. And Will Packard said, well, him doing that, well, he could really, you know, he could go script, make it funny, and reel it back in. We know he can do that. So that's why they didn't have no problem with him going to script. If it was anybody else, they would have had a problem with it. But if I say to you, don't say nothing else about me or any or a friend of mine, and then you get on national TV and say something when you was told not to. And I get that Jay has alopecia, and a lot of people are saying, what if Chris didn't know he had that? You know, but, you know, it's 10 years. And I'm sitting here like, but the years are going by. Weren't they worried about it? Weren't they worried about it? Because a lot of his movies don't warrant him. A lot of the movies was done in the past that warrant him to be nominated for an Oscar and to actually win it. When he did Ali, he should have won an Oscar for that. And there's other movies he's done that him to win an Oscar, he didn't win an Oscar. And now finally he wins the Oscar and he does this. But I get it. We gotta let comedians be comedians. We try to, you know, not silence them, but stop them from being who they are. We shouldn't stop them from being who they are. But when you think about it, you're talking about somebody's family member, their wife or whatever, the sensitive subject, don't do it. And if they tell you, you can say whatever joke you want about me, but don't say it to my mama, my wife, my kids, whatever. But you can say whatever you want about me. And then you turn around and go say jokes about the people you want to say jokes about. Stay with me at the award show that you're in there, and she don't like what you said. No. I get it. Like I get it. So what I'm gonna do here is take a musical break, and we're gonna get into No, I haven't seen my boy Russell Taylor in a while, so we're going to get some Russell Taylor on.
Impossible, yeah, yeah. If you would
And that was Russell Taylor, the one you remember. Looking back into this show, and the next thing we're going to be talking about, ex-cop says fire was once ordered on Bobby Brown. Yes. Ex-cop says fire hit was ordered on Bobby Brown's life, but should not save him. Here's an old school fun fact about Bobby Brown that most fans have never known. It isn't the fact that pre-death row ever Suge was Bobby's bodyguard. Wow. This is my prerogative day, so we do recognize that may be news to some, and if so, you're welcome, family. Here to discuss today, though, is what was new news to some of us. I love old school music, and that's the fact that Bobby Brown once had a hit placed on him before Suge stepped up and to save the day. The details have now been confirmed by a former cop who worked for Suge Knight, also currently facing up to 3 years behind bars after pleading guilty for an unrelated charge. But that's a whole nother story. For now, let us share what the I've said at the time Bobby had crazy danger looming over his life during height of his career. In a new interview with Vlad TV, ex-LAPD officer Reggie White Jr. broke down the story of how Bobby's ties to the Sparkling murder hit against them and how Suge resolved the situation. During Reggie White Jr.'s interview, Vlad pointed out that when Suge Knight was working as Bobby's bodyguard in the late 80s, some gangsters put a hit out on the new edition member regarding a non-payment of his then hefty cocaine purchase. Apparently, Bobby did not keep up with his bill, and the drug dealer he purchased it from was ready to take the situation to the streets by placing a bounty on Bobby's head. When asked about who put the hit out on Bobby at that time, Reggie stated, correct, some dudes from L.A., but Bobby was on that snorting that stuff, and he owned some, owed some drug money, some street money. Somebody and Suge went and talked to the dudes and it all went away. Reggie Jr. also confirmed that the hit was placed on Bobby while he was touring on an infamous tour that also featured Bobby Shore. He said the tour's legendary promoter, Al Haymon, likely collaborated with Suge to help get Bobby's situation resolved and continue a successful tour run. Knowing Suge and Al Haymon, they may have even gave them some money. It wasn't like he called and apologized at all. You know, everybody got gangsters. And if you in the game like that, you got some hitters with you. That's how the story goes. When asked why someone of Bobby's stature at the time wouldn't pay back $10K to $50K cocaine bill at most, which was chump change to Bobby back then, Reggie Jr. suggested that it may not have been that Bobby didn't want to pay it at all, but that he didn't pay it on time. Thus leading to the dealer feeling disrespected and wanting to teach him a lesson. Sometimes people don't want your money. It's about the respect. Sometimes you've done this me enough to where I gotta do this to you, said Reggie White Jr. Reggie White Jr. then explained that Suge Knight was considered their problem solver and referred to the imprisoned Death Row CEO as our modern-day Ray Donovan. Not sure about Suge being everybody's problem solver, but luckily for Bobby, Suge sure did solve a hell of a major problem that day. Wow. Whew. Bobby's career could have been over. Bobby's career could have been over if that hit would have went through. And if it hit, cause you know, and this is the thing. If you claim to be a gangster, I'm not condoning violence, but if you claim to be a gangster, if you're going to go shoot your target, make sure you hit your target. Don't hit no innocent people. Just go hit, if your target is, I don't want to use people's names. It's a, Elmo's a puppet. We know Elmo's a puppet. Let's just say your target is Elmo. Then the only person you should be hitting with them bullets is Elmo. Don't go shooting at Elmo accidentally shooting someone else in the process. Because even if you get Elmo, you're going to jail for two murders. So, here's something else I want to share with y'all. It says, meet Dennis Petty Pettyjohn, the first female full-time employee for Howard University football. I tell you, we gotta tell the good more than we tell the bad. And I'm liking this right here. It says Janice. Okay, I hate when pop-ups happen while I'm reading. Janice Pettyjohn is the first hired for a full-time football position at Howard University. Ooh, I love telling the good. It says the almost 23-year-old South Jersey native is applying for a lifelong experience managing sports teams to lead the football team at one of the country's most popular HBCUs. Her role comes 1 year after Pettyjohn graduated from Howard Sports Medicine Residency Program with a minor in psychology. No, minor in sociology. My bad. I'm super grateful for this position, she told Burlington County Times. Being 22 years old and getting a full-time position at Howard fresh out of college is rare. Coach Larry Scott wrote a petition with me. According to the newspaper, Pettyjohn is the assistant director of football operations, in addition, taking on the responsibility of director of on-campus recruiting. This position was developed especially for her. Pettyjohn has been managing since middle school. It was something she picked up as an extracurricular activity, as being a painter and an art enthusiast. I started managing the basketball team in seventh grade, and in eighth grade, and it's just becoming something that I love. Without realizing that I loved it, just became second nature, she said. By the time she ran Concourse Valley Regional High School, she became football team manager. Former head coach Dan Hodgson praised Pettyjohn. She was always organized. She took on a ton of tasks, and we never had to worry about game setups. At Howard University, Pettyjohn wasted no time securing their spot with the Bisons. While an undergrad, former head coach Mike London offered her a position as a graphic designer and equipment manager. And then from there, my name just kind of started floating around. And next thing I know, I'm working with operations. I'm working with color commentating on the radio. I'm working with the sports information department, Pettyjohn said. I was always the person kind of with that mentality, like, if it has to be done, I'm going to be the one that gets it done. Now, a year after walking across the aisle to her undergrad degree, Pettyjohn is returning to her alma mater with a history-making start to her career. Congratulations to Janice Pettyjohn. Congratulations. Not many people get this opportunity. And you as a woman getting this opportunity? Congratulations to you. Two history-making women this year. We got a 23-year-old at Howard in history, and we got Katari Brown Jackson making history as the first African American woman on the Supreme Court. Yep. So, got some more stuff to share with you. We will take another music break. And we're going to get into let's go with the two chains by the transition.
Said I'm feeling you, babe. Oh, oh. Trying to get
I'm
to you,
love,
babe.
Girl, to feel your touch, girl. Cause you got the love that I need. Girl, I'm coming. Drive the wrong way, up a one way. With no registration and no license plate.
Not a thing at all.
I got issues.
Ooh.
Girl, I miss you.
Oh, yeah.
You got the love that I need.
Yeah. Who's this ringing me like 5 a.m.? Look on my caller ID. And it's my girl again. She's like moaning in a low tone phone sex. With a Baywatch body, good God, she got it best. So hop in my whip, let my seat recline. The only thing on my mind is how to get up in that sign. I got 10 man strength like the Bionic Man. Lee Majors couldn't flip it like the way I can. So,
take a Greyhound to put my thing down.
Put my thing down.
To
get to you,
babe. Cause I'm trying
to get
I'm
to
you, love, babe. Girl, to feel your touch, girl. Cause you got the love that I need. Girl, I'm
not the wrong
way. Up a one way.
Up a one way street,
with
babe.
No registration and no license plate.
Not a thing at
I
all.
I got issues.
Ooh.
Girl, I miss you.
Oh, yeah.
You got the love that I need.
I hit the overpass. Got my foot on the gas. Other side of town in 10 minutes flat, so throw down your keys and unlock the door. Straight past the elevator to the 13th floor. And there she goes, navel ringing, G-string and I'm blind. Started getting mine like I did hard time. My time is coming, she can feel it in my flow. Better slow it down or lose control. Oh, oh, oh.
Down.
Baby,
take the two train, get to you, babe.
I'm trying to get
I'm
to you,
love,
baby.
Girl, to feel your touch, girl.
Oh,
you got the love that I need, girl. I'm trying to
drive
the wrong way, up a one way,
baby.
With no registration,
with
no license plate.
Oh,
I got issues, girl,
oh,
yes, I got issues.
I'm going crazy, babe.
Wanting you.
Body, baby.
I'm feeling you.
Every single day.
Wanting
what else can I say?
I'm feeling
ooh,
you.
Ooh.
Wanting
ooh.
You.
Oh.
I'm feeling
yes,
you.
Yes, I am, baby.
Wanting
fellas, help me say.
Take a prayer.
Put
down,
it down,
lady. Take the two train. To get to you, babe.
I'm trying to get
I'm
to you.
All right, y'all, we're back. You're tuning in to 6 Road and Water Starter Radio. And that was the transition with Train. And for people who don't know what the transition is, they were an R&B group that was signed to Michael Bivins' label. Yep. Michael Bivins. And, I didn't really go that far, but they did have some music on their first album. This is one of my favorites. Take the Greyhound, put my thing on, put it to a train, to get to you, babe. Have the best girl, be set. Oh, yeah. It's one of my favorites. What's up, Six?
What's up?
What's up, Six?
What's up? What's up? How's it going?
it's going good, but I already talked about Will Smith being banned for 10 years by the Oscars. What is your take on it?
I think that's a little excessive. I mean, Conrad Murray killed somebody and got off only there 4 years. I mean, he didn't kill nobody. He just slapped somebody. I think that's a little excessive.
All right. But, you know, break the rules. You gotta deal with the consequences.
Yeah, but that's not the first. If you go back into the, if you Google the history of weird things happening in the Oscars.
I know. I get what you're saying, Sig.
You know,
and
it's
you
like
right.
They're making an example. They're making an example out of Will.
They always have to make an example out of somebody. But you notice it's going to be somebody white, though. That's what people have to pay more close attention to, is these award shows, the stuff like that happen at different award shows, then the person who's going to make the example of is the person of color, not no white person. Because just like you said, it's excessive for him to be out 10 years, the white person. Like, oh, that's too much. Yeah, too much. He shouldn't have got 10 years for doing that. No, that's what a whole bunch of people would have said if the Oscars would have said, let's say Jerry Seinfeld, we're banning him for 10 years. They said, no, that's too much. They would have been like, oh, too much. It was just a slap. He ain't like he killed somebody. That's what the white people were saying. And then after all the white people would have said that, it would have lessened his time. But because you have to think about the Oscars is a white person's award show, I'm being honest. And we only watch it because the actors and actresses that we like are being nominated. You understand what I'm saying? If Will wasn't, let's just say if he was at the award and he wasn't being nominated, let's just say he's just there just to be, he's not being nominated. I don't think any of this would have, you know what I'm saying? The Oscars is not for us. It's for the white people of the world. Because they're the ones that's watching it through the TV. They're the ones that's there every year. And a lot of us only go because, or watch it, because like I said, Denzel, maybe Halle Berry, Viola, Taraji. You know, they made nominees, so we need to see if they got any more. Which we know it's a 50-50 toss-up. Because you may say, oh, she probably could win, and then she don't win. And I know about the John Wayne situation when they did that movie, and then they said Marlon Brando was there, and he sent the Native American woman on his behalf. And John Wayne was about to kill Coleman on stage. And I bet you after that incident, he was still allowed to come back to the Oscars. But then Roman Polanski, who admitted that he raped the 14-year-old, and the Oscars honored him. I think it was this year that Spike was honorary Oscar. I think it was the same year that Spike Lee got his honorary Oscar that they honored Roman Polanski. That's what's so crazy right now. Yep, that's what's so crazy right now. All these, and then people were saying that, but even though it's not the same award show, but in the VMAs, MTV VMAs, that Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee were still together, that Kid Rock said something about her at the award show, and we stuck to him at the award show, and they didn't do nothing about that. Nobody was up in arms about that, but when Pops Chris, he's up in arms about it.
Yeah, but like I said, it's not the first time that something crazy happened at the Oscars, so it's just, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense.
But it's like, for
to
us,
me, it doesn't make any sense.
For us, not all of us that are in the film industry really care. I'm talking about African Americans, that actors and actors, not all of them care if they get out or not. But there are some who do care, you know. Why you think you see the Oscars, you don't see a lot of us there because they don't care. Those are the ones that don't care. The ones that do care, there are some of us who I can say shuck and jive for these awards. They want the validation from these award shows. Like, we know you do good work. We know you're a good actress. We know you're a good actor. You don't need validation of an Oscar, an Emmy, or a SAG award, a People's Choice, whatever the award show is. You don't need that award as validation of how good of an actor or actress you are.
Well, that's the highest award given, the Oscars.
I know, but they want that validation. Because they figure that once they get the Oscar, that means they made it. Do you know how many actors and actresses have been doing more since the 70s, ain't never won an Oscar, nor got the Oscar? And they're not seeking validation. Look at Richard Roundtree, who played Jack in the 70s. You know, he's one of those he's one of those legends. He's not looking for volunteers from the Oscars. And I don't even think he's ever got an honorary Oscar. Like Spike Lee. You know, Spike Lee. Spike Lee, when he put out his movies that he know he should have won Oscars for, he didn't. And then finally the Oscars recognized, like, you know what? Spike Lee did great work. And we should give him an honorary Oscar. That's what they did with Sam Lowe. This year, they gave an honorary Oscar. But Samuel Jackson been putting in the work for years. He started out before he became this big movie star. Samuel Jackson started out as a theater actor. Before we saw him in all these films, he started out as a theater actor. That transitioned into movie acting and became this big star. And you know, I talked about Ketanji Brown Jackson. And what are your thoughts on that? Her winning the confirmation and becoming Supreme Court Justice.
That is a big accomplishment. Well, she should be proud. I just wonder when they're going to just take off the, you know, the... It's not important to me what color she is. It's not. I mean, as long as the job can be done, that's all that matters. I think people put too much emphasis on color.
But you know, in this case, we have to say it. We don't like having to say black all the time when we're saying stuff about us. But we have to say it. In this case, we have to say it. We already know by her name, black. Because you're not going to get no white woman named Ketanji. You're not going to meet a white woman named Ketanji. So we know by her name she's black. But we have to say it. Because she's the first. She's the first, and she may... She's the first, but she may be the only. Because remember, when Barack was in office, he appointed an African-American woman to the Supreme Court, and they turned her down. They voted no, and she didn't get the position. So, you know, it's to happen. I guess you could say, in God's timing, he knew the right person to put in this position. Because if you look at everybody who's on the Supreme Court, some of them don't even have a law degree, and you know the requirements to be a Supreme Court Justice. You don't even need to be a lawyer. I think there's an age requirement, and you don't even need to be a lawyer in order to be a Supreme Court Justice. That's the crazy thing. She's the most qualified. She's a lawyer. She went to law school, went to Harvard at that. She went to Harvard.
Wow.
Graduated, went to law school. One six talk, I got an interruption.
All right, so if you're on the phone, press the 1. Let us know what you think. 347-202-0318 is the number to Sixth and Road. What do you think about the Will Smith situation? 10 years, was that too much? Ketanji Brown Jackson, what do you think about it? So give a call. Internet on the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Join us at 11:30. Tonight we're going to be having great conversations. Ketanji Brown Jackson, the slap heard around the world, causing Will to have 10 years being banned from the Oscars. And what's going on in your neck of the woods? And on the 6 Eyes Radio Network tonight at 11:30, call 424-243-9617. And please go like the 6 Eyes Radio Facebook page. And if you want to get this show and other shows on demand, you can go to your podcast portion on your phone and type in the search, 6 Eyes, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O. In the top right corner, press subscribe, and you'll be able to have the 6 Eyes Radio Network on demand. Same thing as Road to Stardom, and you'll have Road to Stardom Radio on demand as well. Just type in the search, Road to Stardom, and press subscribe. All right. Yep.
I am back. I had an interruption. So, yeah. So, another thing I thought about was, there was a hit put out on a celebrity, music celebrity, and Suge Knight stepped in, and the hit went away. Who do you think I was talking about? I talked about this.
I don't know, but Suge Knight's in jail, so how's he stepping in, doing anything?
Let me put it so you can understand. It didn't happen now. It happened in the past, in the beginning of this person's solo career.
And you said the rapper had beef with another rapper?
No, I said it's a musical artist. I didn't say it was a rapper. I said Suge Knight. There was a hit put out on this artist, and Suge Knight, the people who put the hit out, and had the hit taken away.
Vanilla Ice. Okay.
I'm going to let you keep guessing. As Vanilla Ice was a rapper, so it's not a rapper. I'll let you know that.
Well, you said artist. The artist is an artist.
Yeah, but it's not a rapper. Vanilla Ice was a rapper.
So it's not a rapper.
Right. Person, you know their music very well.
And they're not a rapper. Let's see. I'm an El DeBarge.
Nope. This person, came out after El DeBarge. He was out before he had his solo career. He was
R. Kelly?
No. Public announcement was R. Kelly's backup. They released it. So he technically was in the group.
Chris Brown?
Chris Brown was not making music at this time. He would be in the age bracket before us.
Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx is never in a group, so you can't, so he doesn't fit.
I don't know.
So, the answer is Bobby Brown. When Bobby Brown released his first solo album, there was a hit put out on him. Because, remember, if you watch the New Edition movie, Bobby Brown had a drug problem. So Bobby Brown owed drug dealers some money. And the article said, not that he didn't pay them, I think that he took long to pay them, and they felt disrespected, so they took a hit out of him. They found out, Bobby Brown's manager at the time, there's a bonus in this as well. What was Suge Knight to Bobby Brown at that time?
You say, what was Suge Knight?
What was Suge Knight to Bobby Brown at that time?
His bodyguard.
There you go. So, Suge Knight being his bodyguard, Suge Knight, his manager, had the conversation. Suge Knight went to the people, said, he told them to take the hit off of Bobby, they took the hit off of Bobby. But people understand, when you're on drugs and you're getting high quality drugs from a drug dealer, they don't play around when it comes to their money. Don't think because you're a celebrity that you get leeway when it comes to, you know, drugs, when it comes to getting drugs from them. No, they're going to treat you just like they treat everybody else. You know how you treat me as a celebrity? So when they want their money, they want their money.
Wow.
So that's what the... So, there was a former LAPD officer that worked at the same time with Suge Knight at the time. He was Bobby Brown's bodyguard. And he went over TV and told Vlad the story about Bobby Brown having a hit on him.
Huh, interesting.
Who saw the Bobby Brown movie, or not the Bobby Brown movie, but the New Edition movie, and you saw this scene where Bobby's in the car, he's in the car with, I think, two girls, he's in there getting high with the two girls.
Uh-huh.
Bobby Brown had a serious drug problem, that's one of the reasons why. Problems with the group.
Yeah, I'm glad he got his stuff together now, though. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
He's doing spices and barbecue sauce. Have you tried any of them?
No.
Why? Huh?
My own. I can do my own. I don't need to buy his.
Why aren't you trying Bobby Brown's spices?
Have you tried it? Don't say you tried it when I know you didn't.
No, not yet. But you cook more than I do.
So, like I said, I can make my own.
You don't know how to make no Bobby Brown spices.
I don't need to make Bobby Brown spices.
Well, if you start using Bobby Brown spices, you start dancing like him.
Bobby Brown can't dance.
No?
Bobby Brown can't dance anymore?
No?
Oh,
wow. I thought he was still dancing.
So another thing I want, so another thing that I wanted to talk about was, let me go. So was this. Is Girl 13 Mel's Dinosaurs and Famous Women to Become an NFT Millionaire. A millionaire team from NFT. It says here, her name is Nyla Hayes. Nyla Hayes loved Brontosaurus dinosaurs. As a little girl, she thought they were fascinating and strong. She even gave them the nickname Long Neckies. As she continued to cultivate a love of drawing, Hayes, now 13, drew on her love of nature, creating beautiful, unique art pieces with that moniker. And according to Today.com, it made her millionaire. Last digital artist, Long Necky Lady Portraits, sold on Instagram for $621.20. And probably a piece of hers sold for nearly $4,000. She is selling her work NFT or non-fungible tokens, social media, and through an NFT website that trades Bitcoin. Hayes' work depicts women, some famous and some as unknown as it gets. I love drawing women from all around the world because I have different cultures, different backgrounds. She told NBC News how NBC News Now anchor Santa Sella on Thursday, according to the Today.com report. From Lucille Ball to Michelle Obama, Hayes has made 3,000 original portraits and shared many of them on Instagram, where she has more than 17,000 followers. Also named Time Magazine's first artist president last October, which was created to celebrate artists who are advancing their through NFTs. There's an artist president's collection. These artists in the residence collection will continue to allow them to bring art onto the blockchain that matches their artist signature style with their renowned time franchise. So, publications nearly 100-year trend. tradition of highlighting great artists and photographers of a given era, leading the brand new innovative spaces, in this case, Entertainment Web 3. As part of her work with the magazine, Hayes recreated an Icon of the Year cover featuring Frida Kahlo in her long necky style. Hayes has been able to soar to such amazing heights with the support of her mother, LaToya, and uncle who introduced them to the blockchain. I could see how she was about her art, and I just thought, like, if I could support her in any way, that's exactly what I'm going to do. LaToya told Today. Hayes describes her mom as her right hand. Honestly, when I first heard about NFTs, I was kind of like, honestly, I don't know about this, Hayes told Today, but I've been wanting to put my art there for a while, so it was a good platform to do so. So congratulations to her. At 13, becoming a millionaire. Then she decides to go to college and continue her career. She got money for college.
Well, I think that is great. And what I want to do is invite her to the church and have a chicken dinner celebration for her, because that is extraordinary, being a teenager making something with their mind, using their hands to make things. I want to do a chicken dinner for her. Yes. Sister Simmons, can you hear me?
I do. Well, I got this chicken. What if she don't,
yeah.
What if she don't eat chicken?
Huh?
What if she doesn't eat chicken?
Well, who doesn't eat chicken? I don't know one person that doesn't eat chicken.
I'm just saying, people, she could be vegan. You don't know that. She could be vegan.
Well, if that's the case, we'll have to find something that she can eat. But we gotta have her at the church. Amen. Hello, Pastor. Good evening. How you doing? I am fine, son. Okay. Glad to hear that. Yes. Where's everyone else?
Like who? Who's everyone else?
Who was the guy that called in last week, kind of arguing with you?
You talking about Marty?
Yes.
I don't know who Marty is.
All right. Well, hello to him and you and what's his name? What's the young man that was just talking?
That's six.
Five?
That was six.
Five, six.
No, his name is six.
Six? Hello. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I guess after that is six. Hello, six. Amen. We hope you come to the chicken dinner celebration. Yes. Wow. That man loves some chicken.
Well,
ma'am, why do you sound sleepy and the night is young?
I don't sound sleepy, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, ma'am, what I'm going to be doing after I get off of here is going on Facebook Live and dance.
What you dancing for,
Because God loves me and God gave me great feet to move.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want me dancing too? What song you want me dancing
to? There's some nice little groups out there that I like. So what I'm going to do is whatever dance the congregation, which I call the people on social media, whatever dance they write in the comments, I will start doing. For the record, I will not twerk, so don't nobody ask me to twerk. That's not happening.
No one asks you to twerk, Pastor. No one asks you to twerk.
And I am not going to do the caterpillar.
What's the caterpillar? Because I never heard of that dance.
Oh, that was a dance back in the day where they would dance with their legs. It's called
I've heard of the worm, but I've never heard of the caterpillar.
No, this is called the caterpillar. I believe your legs bend and you I would have to get somebody a little younger, but this was a very popular dance called the caterpillar.
Okay.
Almost looked like your legs were kind of broke. I do believe Will Smith did the dance on one of the episodes. The caterpillar. I believe it was the episode where Ashley was going on her first date and Will Smith started dancing. And I remember the crowd was kind of going crazy while he was dancing.
Okay. But, Pastor, we got to get back into the show. The show's going to be over.
All right.
So,
yeah.
It says here, newly hired head coach, head volleyball coach at Grambling State University cuts every player from team in an unprecedented move, a college volleyball coach cut an entire team of players. According to KSLA, a newly head volleyball coach at Grambling University made a roster change that caught everyone, especially the players, after notifying the administration that she would make changes. She called all 19 players from the volleyball team. Grambling State University's new head volleyball coach, C. Lucas, was hired to guide the team in February. She informed all 19 players individually earlier this week on April 4th. The decision, it's her decision to make, and she's got some quality players coming on board. I think 14 or 15 come on board at some point. So in terms of things, I hate to say it out with the old, but with the new, a little bit, GSU Athletic Communications Director, say. Obviously, we don't want them to be cut or lose their scholarships or whatever that might be, whatever that might look like. At the end of the day, coaches has a goal, has a vision. We have a goal as an institution, as a vision as well, to win and first and foremost. Sports Illustrated has reported that Lucas, a 2007 Grambling, spent six seasons at two other Southern Athletic Colleges programs, the University of Arkansas Pine Bluffs and Alcorn State University. She coached at UAB for 3 years and achieved an overall record of 37-44, compiling a 37-17 in conference play. Before joining UAPB, she was head coach for 3 years at Alcorn State from 2016 to 2018. Just as the transfer portal empowers student athletes, Grambling State Athletic Director Trevi said in a written statement, our coaches are also empowered to make the decision they deem necessary to advance their programs. One of the players, Recia Harris, a junior at Grambling, has something to say about the move. She said that we weren't able to play as much, which we weren't, and she said, based off of that, she was not able to renew my scholarship, so I didn't really get any time to show what I can do. When I was in there, and she told me my heart completely broke. Of course, and I didn't cry in there, but I did when I left. And it just really mad, the fact that it was snatched away fast, Harris said. I get it. She's building the team. Every coach rebuilds their team. And they do it by one player at a time. So I, like they said, some of these girls on the volleyball team might be there under scholarship, and I get that if they're not on the team, lose their scholarship. But she's rebuilding that team. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, they saw you in high school.
Let me finish
before you say something, Pastor. They saw the potential you had to be a winning player in high school. College and high school was two different things. You may be the best player in high school, but the college is a different ball game. And as good as you was in high school, you may not be as good in college. So this new coach is saying, hey, you've been on this team. Now you got one more year left, junior, and you've been on this team for 3 years already. And 3 years, you being on this team, and the team ain't win nothing, then you're not as good a player as you think you are.
Well, I could remember.
I'm not finished, Pastor. I'm not finished. You may not be as good a player as you think you are. What she's doing is letting all the players go, and she's probably going to have auditions for them to come back and try out to be on the team again. And those who show potential that they can bring something to the team, she's going to try to put them on the team. Those who are not on the team by scholarship may not make the team. Now, what did you want to say, Pastor?
Well, I can understand why they are like that. They're very competitive with these sports. Kind of brings me back to when I played basketball in high school. I put on my Chuck Taylors, and when I hit that flow, the girls went crazy. And, yes, I had an afro, real nice. And they love sports if you can excel and play great sports. Now, the name of the dance that I talked about earlier is called the butterfly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I will be dancing all night. I'm very excited.
Okay.
And I want to say hello to my nephew. Hello to him. And also the Rick. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
And he's invited to the chicken dinner as well.
So, we got some sports news. And if you remember back, we talked about Brian Flores not getting the position of the head coaching job that it went to another with the same name, Brian, and that he got a text from Bill Belichick congratulating him on getting the job, and then he went and realized, he said, I think you mean the other Brian, and this came before he was supposed to interview with the New York Giants for the position of head coach. They already picked somebody, and this happened right before he was supposed to interview, like 2 days before or a day before that he was supposed to interview with the New York Giants. He gets this text talking about congratulations on getting the position. And this is my thing, is how you set me up for an interview. You set me up for an interview, but then before I even get my interview, you already hired somebody. So that means I'm coming in to interview for nothing. You hired somebody.
Well, let me finish.
So
he probably was drunk when they...
My thing is that if Bill Belichick would have never sent him that congratulating him, he would have never known that other coach got hired. And he would have went in there for that... excuse me, y'all. He would have went in there for that interview. And it would have been for nothing because they already hired somebody else.
Well, he got the job, right?
He did not get the job. So back to the article. So now...
Why are you yelling? Why are you yelling at me?
I'm not yelling at you. I'm saying back into the article. So because of all that... He decided to sue the NFL for discrimination. Now, this new article... Another coach
has joined him
on the discrimination lawsuit, and his name is Steve Wilks. It says Steve Wilks, another coach named Ray Horton. So Steve Wilks, Ray Horton, joined Brian Flores' NFL discrimination lawsuit. They also alleged they were part of the sham interviews and or given an opportunity to succeed in higher positions. So, you know, for those who follow sports know about the Rooney Rule, and the Rooney Rule was put in place that the NFL had to interview with African-American coaches to give them a chance at a position as a head coach. And this is why they got their lawsuit, discrimination lawsuit, because they are interviewing them, but they're not hiring them. So he would have, like I said, if he wouldn't have got that text on Bill Belichick, he would have went on that interview for nothing, not knowing they hired someone. There's been a handful of African-American coaches in the NFL, and they haven't hired anyone since. The longest African-American coach right now is Tomlin, who coaches the Steelers. So back into this article, it says, two more places have joined former Miami Dolphins head coach Flores. Discrimination lawsuit against the NFL. Some of his teams. According to ESPN, Steve Wilks, who was the Arizona Cardinals head coach for one season in 2018, and Ray Horton, an NFL assistant who interviewed for the Tennessee Titans head coach position in 2016, became part of the amended complaint Thursday. Flores against Pro Football League now includes his former team, the Denver Broncos, New York Giants, Houston Texans, the Titans, and Cardinals, as well as 26 other John Doe NFL teams. Attorney Flores alleged in the amended complaint filed in the Southern District of New York that the Texans retaliated against Flores by removing him from consideration for their head coaching vacancy due to his decision to file the action and speak publicly about systemic discrimination in the NFL. The complaint asked for, among other things, increasing transparency in NFL hiring, incentives for hiring black coaches, and increased visibility for black assistants. Coaches, according to the ESPN. When Coach Flores filed this action, I knew I owed it to myself and to all black NFL coaches and aspiring coaches to stand with him. Wilkes, who becomes the past game coordinator, secondary coach for the Carolina Panthers, said in this statement, released by his, this lawsuit has shed further important light on a problem that we all know exists, but that too few are willing to confront. Black coaches and candidates should have exactly the same ability to become employed as white coaches and candidates. That is not currently the case, and I look forward to working with Flores and coaches to ensure that the aspiration of true equality and the NFL becomes a reality. The Cardinals responded in a statement claiming the decisions we made after the 2018 season were very difficult ones. But as we said, at the time, they were entirely driven by what was in the best interest of our organization and necessary for team improvement. We are confident that the facts reflect that and demonstrate that these allegations are untrue. Hoyle, who was the coordinator for the Titans during the 2015 season and interviewed for the team's head coaching job. Lawyers for him claimed he was given a completely sham interview that ready to comply with the rule. See what I'm saying? Comply with the Rooney rule and to demonstrate the appearance of equal opportunity and false willingness to consider a minority candidate for the position. The Titans ended up hiring Mike Malarkey, who is white, for the job, and Horton left to be the defensive coordinator in Cleveland. Malarkey was fired in 2018-19. Additionally, Malarkey said in a 2020 podcast that the Titans owners told him he was going to get the job before he completed the editing process, which included being two minority candidates. Flores is currently the Pittsburgh Steelers linebackers coach and defensive assistant. There are currently only two minority head coaches in the NFL. Four fired and three were hired off season. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell has since stated that every option is on table in regards to combating the league's forecast dealing with racism, including replacing the league's Rooney Rule, which requires teams to interview two minority coaches before making a final decision on a hire. Plus, the discrimination lawsuit alleging he was discriminated against during the interview process with the Broncos and Giants and firing from the Dolphins in January. According to ESPN, the 58-page was filed in Manhattan Federal Court to class act status, which is now works and more were able to join it. That's Horton. They put more in. They made a mistake. Flores says that as the team, won games, Ross allegedly offered him $100,000 for every game he lose. Miami general manager Chris Greer told him that Ross was mad. Flores' late season winnings was compromising the team's draft. The suit includes messages he alleges are from New England Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, demonstrating that the Giants conducted an interview with Flores knowing they intended to hire someone else to be head coach to comply with the Rooney Rule. Yeah. That's what went down. And that's messed up. That gave me a fake interview when you was hiring someone already. So I hope Flores, Horton, and Wilkes win their lawsuit. I love football, the game. I couldn't stand around and let my people get shafted. So, it's the time to say goodbye to the people, Six. We got 4 minutes, we got 3 minutes left in the show.
Well, so how about I become a part of the show every week?
Why do you want to do this show, Pastor? Let the people know why you want to be a part of the show. Let them know.
Well, I like how you and Seven working together.
First of all, Pastor, if you want to be part of this show, you got to call him by his name. It's Six, not Seven.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you and Six are working together, and God needs to be in everything.
Okay.
So I would like to be here every week. And, of course, you all will watch me after this broadcast because I will be live dancing. And I'm excited. Yes.
Okay. So we'll be back next Saturday with another Six in Road. We'll have more topics we'll be discussing. And I'll be back at 11 p.m. with Saturday Night Intake. Six will be on at 11:30. The Six and DJ ATL. The Six Stars Radio Show with DJ. The Six Stars Radio Show with DJ ATL. At 11:30, there will be discussing Katrina Brown and everything else that's going on in this country.
Well, I want to thank you all, and God bless.
So I say peace, one love. I appreciate you. Don't be a stranger. Keep rocking with your girl and roll to starting radio. Another stage. 11 p.m. is Were you gonna get nothing faster than music? Don't know how the music is going to flow tonight, but just know it's going to be great music. You should tune in and listen. So peace, one love.